And welcome to Tweets Ahead, an Irish podcast that's all about talking tweets, Twitter, and the ridiculousness of the Twitterverse. We have a whole host of Twittery goodness to talk about. This week we are joined by one of our regulars, Cormac. Cormac, how was your week?
Yeah, it's been good, Fergal. What did I do this week? I suppose I made a new purchase, another one of my purchases.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I bought a new mop. it's a spin mop. It's very fancy.
Oh, yeah.
Very high tech. I haven't actually used it yet because I've convinced myself that in order to actually mop, I need a dry day where I can open all the doors in the house, air it out.
There has to be great drying in that weather.
Yeah, well, it's not just because I want the neighbours to see me with fancy mop. There is a reason.
You're trying to convince me that there's a method to this madness.
Yeah, there is €40 this mop cost.
Oh, I know, Cormac. I happen to have one myself.
I was wondering where I'd seen it before.
Slowly but surely, you are buying stuff to make your house look exactly like mine.
Yeah. Outside of that, I started a new career mode in Football Manager with Boca Juniors. So I'm hoping that I can lead them to the glory.
Yeah. They're Argentinian, aren't they?
They are. Yeah, they are indeed. I have no idea why I just decided I'd go really left field, because you're always like picking a team in Spain, England.
Yeah. All the way left to South America.
Yep, all that well-trodden route for Irish managers.
they play a lot of hurling in Argentina, don't they? Isn't that a thing?
They do, there's a place in Argentina called Murphy. It's named after some lad, I think, from Wexford. I don't know if I've got the county right, but it's definitely some chap from down the country somewhere.
Listen, it sounds like you put a lot of research into this decision, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Myself this week, as you know, Cormac, I'm in a new house, which recently had a back garden kind of completely done and finished. So grass is starting to grow finally. I've been watching that grass like a hawk all week. Despite having no agricultural or horticultural experience whatsoever. But I'm convincing myself I know what I'm doing when I'm kind of hunkering down and just watching.
You've obviously been very busy at work. If you have time to watch the grass grow, Fergal.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't really think about that one, did you?
No. All right, so let's move on to...
I'm a public servant, so
yeah.
I've of course been very busy throughout the week.
I'm sure.
Like to point that out to all the taxpayers out there that might be listening.
This is what your taxes are paying for this podcast. Cool. Well, listen, let's take a look at Irish Twitter this week, and let's see what caught our eye. Cormac, we'll go to you first. What have you been looking at on Irish Twitter this week?
Okay, my first trend on Irish Twitter, it's actually a little bit difficult because the original tweet has now since been deleted. But
that's always a good sign.
Last weekend, RTE done Comic Relief. It was to raise money for charity. And one of the skits was the Den was brought back. But on the Den, they had Niall Horan as a guest. Niall, come on, basically on for a couple of minutes. But part of it was, obviously, everybody remembers the Den and characters involved, like Dustin, Docky. They basically ripped the piss out of Niall Horan for about a minute or two, and one of them was, look, the gist of it was, look, we couldn't get Harry Styles, we wanted him, but we had to settle for you. But obviously this found its way onto Twitter, the Niall Horan stands didn't realise this was a comedy sketch for comic relief and proceeded to just take over Twitter because of the abuse they felt Niall was suffering.
Yeah.
despite the amount of tweets underneath it going, look guys, this is a comedy sketch, you know, it's just a bit of fun. They were not backing down at all. I don't know if you've seen this, but it was...
Well, I know from experience, not from experience, but I know from seeing on Twitter that One Direction fans are, let's say, a passionate fan base. I think they're called One Directioners. But
you think or you know? Because he said there, you know, from experience. So
I'm fairly confident. that is what we call, I mean, that's what they call themselves. But yeah, I can only imagine the overreaction to this. I saw a lot of it on my own timeline, where I think Dustin at one point put up that he's a lover, not a fighter, or something. Or
that's it. Dustin, the turkey, had to come out and, you know, pour some cold water all over this fire.
Yeah,
because you know. We were looking at invasion, basically, from Niall Horan's stance. As I said, the tweet has now since been deleted.
So can I just... As Niall... Who's deleted the tweet? Dustin's deleted the tweet, or not?
This Niall Horan... It's like Niall Horan fan club has since deleted the tweet. I actually don't know if Niall himself came out to say... look, guys, this is just a bit of crack, as we say over here. You know, let's not take this too seriously. I must actually look up to see if he had.
I tell you, I've actually, and I don't follow Niall Horan on Twitter, but I haven't seen anyone talk about him reply to this, and I think his silence it's pretty damning.
I think he's just basically, you know, afraid to say anything one way or the other because these are powerful guys.
I think Harry Styles would have come out and defended Dustin. I want to throw that out there.
Well, maybe that's just the sign of the times, as Harry once sang.
Wow.
there you go.
anything else, can pop up in your timeline this week, Omar?
Okay, so there was some good questions around the new ministers, you know, who would get what. And then Richard Chambers tweeted out, but what about Micheál Martin, you know, pointing someone to the Ministry of Sound? and then, you know, people started to chirp in with other fake departments or TDs that they thought would be able to cover this. Some people thought James Brown could be the godfather of soul and run the Ministry of Sound. Others, for some reason, people were like saying, bring back, like, Willie O'Dea should be the Minister of Sound. I don't think where Willie comes into that.
No,
one,
that's a weird one.
For some reason, Willie O'Dea is a popular kind of character on Twitter. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but he's one of these politicians, although he doesn't seem to have a presence on Twitter, he's a bit of a cultural kind of phenomenon. He's been hanging around a long time. I don't know if you've ever actually noticed that, but...
Not on Twitter,
People seem to be big fans of him. I know that much.
Yeah, it's funny, even though... Not that I like to talk about them too much, but the Healy Rays would have that kind of weird... cult kind of following.
Definitely.
Yeah, where they seem to be just idiots and continuously re-elected. Well, I guess they probably, I assume they pull a lot of favours.
It's, what do they call it, parish pump politics? You know, they got the roads fixed or something like that. What else was there on Irish Twitter? Well, there was a great video that was uploaded, and it was originally on TikTok, but it was uploaded by the original girl that's done it, I think, Roisin Langan. And it was a TikTok of a girl basically showing, you know, all these places that Britain has invaded and hasn't invaded.
Oh, wow.
Of course, Irish Twitter, you know, took off. And she was standing in the middle of the screen with a line down it, and it was countries Britain has invaded, countries Britain hasn't invaded. Obviously, she spent a lot of her time jumping to the right-hand side of the screen, which was countries Britain had invaded, but it obviously took off on Irish Twitter.
Is that what that was? I saw that floating around my timeline, but I do tend to ignore TikToks a lot. Maybe I shouldn't be.
I'm not on the TikTok, so I don't actually know myself. But it's quite funny. It's quite short. It's only about 20 seconds long, but it's very informative. At the same time, one of those types of videos, you'd learn a lot in 30 seconds watching it. My last two Irish Twitter things were, one of them I had showed you before, award-winning director Lenny Abrahamson of Normal People.
Oh, yeah.
Most recently. Uploaded a video about 2 weeks ago. I don't know where he got it from or where he found it, but it's one of the best things I've ever seen on Twitter. I did not get, you know, the likes or the shares it deserved. It's a town in Poland every year creates the attempted assassination of Pope John Paul II. And it's just a video of that. And yeah, look, maybe we'll put it up on the page for everybody to go and have a look at it.
Yeah, you did show that to me. It is absolutely worth retweeting. We will retweet that out after we release the podcast.
It's wonderful. It's like he directed.
Yeah, it's essentially a dramatic reenactment of
it's spectacular.
Like with no budget. With no budget.
There's like a full crowd at it. All that sort of stuff.
You say a full crowd of 20 people.
Yeah,
at
well,
it.
Like, you know, I'm not expecting that there's going to be thousands there, but yeah, it's well worth. If there was an admission fee, I probably would have paid it. That kind of thing.
It's high praise.
Yeah, and the last one was uploaded by a girl called Chris Bratt. I don't think that's her real name. It's at Mel Gracie. And it's just a picture of a security guard outside Morrison's holding an umbrella over a dog. And someone asked him, like, what are you doing that for, basically? And he said, well, you never know how dogs feel about the rain. That kind of really got thinking, well, that's actually very true. We don't know how dogs feel about the rain. I assume you've seen this photo.
I have. It's great. Funny enough, when I was driving home an hour or two ago, and it was pelting down here. The rain has been a bit surreal at times, but I did see an owner just kind of under a tree on the footpath, and a dog a big dog just cowering because it was raining, just cowering under the tree. And it was just the saddest thing. But it kind of reminded me of, I did see this one tweet. Oh, I can't think if I tweeted it or, but it was about six or 7 months ago. And it was someone, kind of complaining, saying, my boyfriend always pours the dog's water from the Brita filter jug.
No.
And I asked him, why he does that. And he just replied with, well, he'd do the same for me.
My dog would not do that for me.
I'll admit, like, out of pure laziness, rather than taking the bowl to the sink, I'll pour the water from the Brita filter in.
Yeah, I think that's okay if it's just like an unconscious decision. But like, if you're like consciously going on,
giving him the finest,
he has to have the crisp, you know, water.
It has to be chilled, no room temperature for this dog.
Although I did catch my cat a couple of times managing to drink from the fridge water. Not sure how he's managed it, but he can do it.
Once he's not drinking, whatever liquid's keeping the fridge cold.
Also, while we're on pets, I'd just like to say happy birthday to my cat, who was 4 yesterday. We did have a birthday party.
I can't believe you've used this platform like this. Yeah. To give a personal birthday message to your 4-year-old cat.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's not like he asked for a shout out, but, you know, why not?
complete abuse of power, Cormac. I like it. I like it. I let it stand. Well, thanks very much. I know this week, I wanted to quickly throw it out there. I saw hashtag job fairy trending for the first time in a long time.
Okay.
On Irish Twitter, which I thought was really cool. Saw some great jobs for places like Rascals, which is that brilliant brewery in Dublin / Pizza House, Youth Theatre Ireland, and then the Health Research Charities Ireland as well hiring. So some really interesting places hiring at the minute. But I thought it was brilliant seeing hashtag job fairy trending once again in Ireland. It's been a while since I've seen it.
No, it is great. I suppose we're all after coming through a difficult time. The hope is that, you know, there won't be too much of a hit to the, you know, people's jobs and stuff like that. I think everybody was worried because nothing to do with the government of the day, but there did seem to be an awful lot of people had turned the corner and were unemployment, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this unforeseen behemoth that was coronavirus up paid to a lot of that. So hopefully now there'll be more jobs coming back online and people will be able to get back to work.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Twitter can be a good platform for stuff like that. So hopefully, we're starting to see a little bit of emergence job wise.
Dundalk was actually trending during the week. I clicked that. I thought, oh God, no, what's happened now, you know? But it was actually just a football match between the first team and the youth team.
I saw a few screenshots of Dundalk versus Dundalk, yeah. And I thought it was someone playing FIFA or something. I hope Dundalk wins this.
Yeah. I'm not sure who won, but I think it was the first team.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Funny enough, and I said this to you earlier, Cormac, I was kind of looking at two separate items for Irish Twitter for this recording, and I unbeknownst to me, I didn't really realise it. I was actually looking at the same kind of topic, but I noticed it's a phenomenon you've seen on Twitter too, where people mispronounce or don't understand Irish names and kind of complain about it on Twitter. You know, like, why is it called Siobhan and not Saivon? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It annoys me a lot. I get a bit uppity when people mispronounce Irish names. I don't actually know why, but I do.
Well, listen, this next segment is for you.
Right.
I was on Twitter and I follow the once great John Cleese. I was a fan. I've been to see him live a couple of years ago, a kind of live stage Q&A kind of session. I have a signed book from him, big Monty Python fan. But unfortunately, over the last couple of years, whether it's age or just Twitter giving him the platform to be a bit more himself, kind of seeing that kind of old English colonialist in him really starting to come out. But what kind of led me to talking about this week was a conversation he had with a few people on Twitter, where they were tweeting about something else. He was talking to somebody about something else, and someone replied to John and said, "Kiva, now spelt K-E-E-V-A, is my dog's name, but it's spelt Kiva, and then the traditional Irish spelling, you know, C-A-O-I-M-H-E. Kiva or Quiva, depending on what part of the country you're from. I think it's Quiva the south and Kiva in the north. That's what I've gotten from this conference, this whole thread. I've learned a lot about the name Kiva.
I've heard both. Neighbour and it was Kiva.
I have a relation and it's Kiva as well. So I assume it's Kiva kind of further north. I think Ulster Irish is Kiva and kind of Munster Irish is Quiva. But I could be pulling that out of my arse. Feel free to correct me.
Yeah, anyone listening, we are not authorities on this at all.
Please, I have gone down a rabbit hole. I have no authority or expertise, and someone please save me.
I don't want to get cancelled. So if anybody knows, by all means.
Cormac, luckily enough, we don't have enough followers or listeners to get cancelled yet, so don't worry. But John did reply to Randy. It was an account at Randy Bruin 8. He replied with, "No wonder the Irish never had an empire."
Whoa.
In relation to the spelling of Kiva.
Not a good start, John.
No, not great. But kind of what really caught my eye was more or less the kind of responses to that. So obviously a lot of people were angry about that, and then you get some people kind of chiming in on John's side in a weird way. But you know, the argument I guess from Irish people is always, listen, it's a different language that, you know, the English took away from us. You lads shouldn't be at that. So I got a few kind of one of my favorite responses was from at We Half Pint. So we as in little, We Half Pint. His surname is spelled Cleese, but pronounced Prick.
I'm looking at it now, yes. I don't know what's gonna happen with John. No, I'm just...
It's sad as well. As I said, I was such a big fan. Someone did respond at Mashtron. Even Eric Idle was funnier than him, which I actually, as an insult goes, Eric Idle is an award-winning comedian and musician, so I don't think that's a great insult.
Definitely not. Maybe if that had said Palin, I think he was kind of more considered the boring one, wasn't he?
Yeah. Palin, I think so, but like even then he's still like an award-winning comedian. Yeah, compared to the rest of the Pythons, yeah. But I thought what was really interesting was someone replied to that insult of, you know, Cleese but pronounced Prick with it's actually cheese. And I thought, well, that's a terrible joke. That's a really, really bad joke. And I guess that kind of stayed in the back of my head. But I saw an ad for a Pythons documentary that's coming to Sky Arts soon. And John talks about... In the trailer, he talks about how when his grandfather or a distant relation was signing up for something or came to England, whatever it was, the name actually was Cheese.
No.
And he changed it to Cleese.
That's
100% true. John Cleese's family, like the real family name is Cheese. So John's dad was the first one. Mum and dad were the first people to have Cleese. Sorry, it was his grandfather. I remember him talking about it. So John was the third person in England to have the name Cleese. Cleese doesn't exist outside of John's immediate family.
Okay, this is groundbreaking research because I've never heard this before. And as you know, when it comes to pointless information, I am very good at that.
Yeah, it kind of blew my mind a little bit. Connected a few dots for me. Even when we're not researching for the podcast, every day is a school day, man.
Hey, we're all just learning, my friend.
That's it. But, you know, you get people kind of... Another great response I saw... I say great for being ridiculous. It was a fellow called Tom Cronin. He has a Twitter handle, but it's a bunch of numbers, so he's either a bot or just very unlucky when he came to kind of getting his name. But the Irish had a completely realised written and spoken language while the English were still living in mud holes and eating raw gopher meat.
So, like, was there a pylon after that? Because, you know, they don't usually... When I say they, I don't want to car all British people... The one brush here,
yeah.
They don't generally take too well to being, you know, called out. Let's say.
Well, for me, this bad, this really silly response has got a few layers to it. Like, weren't the English invaded by the Romans a long time before they invaded us? So I assume they would have been relatively civilized. Do gophers exist in England? Is that a North American thing, or
They're not beavers, are they?
Although Gordon the Gopher.
What was he now?
Well, Gordon the Gopher. Remember the puppet that Philip Schofield used to have his hand up?
Well, no. I don't, Fergal.
Gordon the Gopher. He used to be on... Philip Schofield was... Was he on Live and Kicking? I think he was on Live and Kicking.
Did he have two big teeth?
The Gopher or Philip?
Yeah, Gopher. I don't remember it. I didn't watch Alive and Kicking, I don't think.
The fact that you just called it Alive and Kicking.
Yeah, what was it called?
Alive and Kicking.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, so Philip Schofield, and maybe he wasn't Alive and Kicking, I don't know. He used to have a puppet on his hand, and that's how he got famous. So maybe Gophers do exist in the UK, I don't know. But I just thought it was just a really strange insult.
But I think you have to, on Twitter, I don't think, it matters how strange the insult is. I think it just matters that you got the insult in there.
Oh, I think so. The best one I did see was an account called Alva Cronin. So she came back with, my name is Alva, but it's pronounced Tuckier Law.
And is Alva anything to Tom,
I don't know.
You didn't do that research, did you?
I didn't go that in depth. I didn't go in that in depth, no. But I didn't realise this is all kind of linked to another topic I was looking at during the week. I don't know if you saw this floating around, but a lot of Americans and kind of other people internationally just kind of discovered the story of the pirate queen Grace O'Malley.
No, I haven't seen this actually, Fergal, but it's funny you mentioned this. I have actually heard Grace O'Malley's name mentioned a lot over the last while. David O'Doherty was doing a podcast called Isolation during the lockdown. He was over in ACO, and apparently she used to spend, there's rumours that she spent a lot of time there. Possibly some treasure is buried in ACO.
Really? That's quite cool, because I'd kind of forgotten about Grace O'Malley.
Well, we'll have to ask Lord Doddlesworth himself, David O'Doherty.
Maybe if we tweet him, he'll come back to us.
Yeah.
But what I found fascinating, because I was actually getting quite interested in it. I'd forgotten about Grace O'Malley completely from school, and I'd kind of gotten into it. And when I was kind of looking up stuff about her, and I realised she had 10 variations of her name. But some people started complaining. One guy in particular, this chap, he really took exception to her being called Grace O'Malley. And this guy called Brian Sherry at Brian Delivers, and Brian certainly delivers shit tweets. Brian replied with, her name was not Grace, it was Grania. Please, America, just pay attention for once. Other people's cultures are not your Lego to get to take apart and make a monster out of.
Lego, right?
Yeah. Which is Danish, Brian. Come on.
Exactly. He could have said Mola. I would have got behind him if he said Mola.
He could have said Mola. But yeah, so Brian's on about Grania, and I looked at Grace O'Malley. I got looking at her kind of Wikipedia page and then a few other websites, and there's 10 variations of her name, but it comes down to the fact that all reports of her were through British publications because she was a pirate. So there's actually very little information about her on the Irish side. It mostly coming from the UK, so there's so many variations of her name and stuff. But she was really cool. At one point, she actually met Queen Elizabeth I to barter for the lives of her, I think, her half brother and sons. So basically, one of the reasons why this went popular was a writer and director in the States called, I believe her name was Jessica Ellis, and she's kind of written a pilot for an O'Malley show.
Oh.
And yeah, no, she said no one's picked it up yet, but she's been shopping it around, but it got a lot of traction online. But it just kind of goes to show, in the midst of, just being very interested in something like this, you still on Twitter get dragged into the whole Irish name thing, like these kind of pointless arguments that are happening.
I mean, I wonder what she's going to be called on the show, but if it's made, will it be Grace or will it be Grania?
Oh, I assume they'll anglify it.
Of course they will. It'll be
Dylan.
It'll be an American name. God only knows.
Or maybe she'll start off as Grania and they'll change it to Grace to be...
yeah,
to be well known. But I did love that somebody wrote back to Brian with, "I believe you, Brian, but where is your authority on this? Just for our family records, thanks." So, and I was at Joy48, so I've no idea who Joy is. Yeah, I thought that was a good one.
Family records. What is she? Is she trying to make out that she's related to this pirate, or
I don't know. The account's just called Joy48, and it's love facts, discussions, ideas outside square, and good conversations. Love all family books, art, community. Joy does not believe in punctuation. Silence means I value relationship more than opinion. Right.
Okay. Should that not all? Is she trying to be funny when she says ideas outside the square? That's supposed to be ideas outside the box.
I would assume so. Yeah.
Has she never heard that phrase before?
Yeah. It's a weird one, isn't it?
Good.
Oh yeah, Brian does. Someone kind of comes in being the voice of reason, saying, "Brian, relax." That's the name she was told.
Yeah.
You know. So she's asking the question. It's not her fault. And Brian comes back with, "She's a historical figure. Too lazy to open a book."
I mean, I wasn't aware that until I Googled it there now. I was not aware that it could have possibly been called Grania.
I had no idea.
The first I've heard of it.
Yeah,
maybe it's a Mayo thing. You know, I don't know. I'm not getting into a row with the entire county of Mayo, but maybe it's. Maybe in Mayo it's a well-known thing.
Maybe. Listen, Sean was trying to get into a row with Austria last week. I don't need you getting into a row with Mayo this week. Cormac, I think it's best we just move on.
That's okay with me. I'm not prepared to take on the might of a county that finishes second quite a lot.
Okay, moving swiftly on. Okay, so let's take a look at just Twitter in general this week and what we've been looking at. Cormac, what have you been checking out this week in Twitter?
Well, like, as you know, mainly I cover the sports, as I say, most weeks. But let's be honest with you, sports, well, not all sports are over, but football is such, the Premier League, Bundesliga, La Liga, all pretty much over. So I had a look at the more kind of obscure, possibly, football trends. And thankfully, Arsenal's left-back, Kieran Tierney, has delivered. You can always count on an Arsenal player to deliver something of fun. So this was Kieran Tierney was spotted getting off the Arsenal team bus at a game. It was an FA Cup, actually. And obviously all the players were coming in, and as it is these days, you can see all the players coming in, their headphones, their iPods.
Their shuffles.
Their iPhones, their MP3 players. And a lot of them you'll see now will either have an official club bag, like a backpack, obviously with their stuff in it, or they'll have like a fancy watch. They'll have Gucci, Prada, whatever it might be.
Yeah, and probably stuff provided by the club as well a lot of the time.
Exactly. Some of them you'll just see them coming in with the official club shop bag that's been handed to them on the bus. But Kieran Tierney got off the bus and he's kind of hanging about in the background for a moment. And looking back on it now, it kind of looked like he might possibly be avoiding the camera. Because along he comes swinging a Tesco Extra bag. I don't know if you've seen this, but I got a lot of love on Twitter purely because of the fact that, you know, he's a probably £1,000 a week paid footballer slumming it with a Tesco bag. The actual tagline was, "The Tesco bag is good enough for Arsenal's Kieran Tierney," and people on Twitter absolutely loved it.
Yeah, what I find really funny about this, and I'm sure I'm going to probably annoy anyone from Scotland listening, but Scotland has that rep of being a bit tight. And I went to college in Scotland, I know this. And I just thought that, you know, the one Scottish player in the squad kind of turning up with a Tesco bag with the boots in it just felt like a symbol, you know, for being Scottish or
I didn't know of that rep, but I know they certainly have the rep of really just not giving too much of a shite. What they're doing half the time, the Scots. So,
and we love them for it.
Yeah, I have it here, but there's lots of people just going like, fair play to the lad. Obviously stopped off for a meal deal beforehand.
That's a great tweet.
So, that kind of stuff. You know, fair play to Kieran Tierney, showing up to today's game with his Tesco bag, keeping it real. KT with the Tesco bag. Footballers usually enter the stadium with Gucci or LV wash bag, not Tierney, Tesco bag for life. But just got me thinking of, has this become the new kind of celebrity trend? Because you remember when Matt Damon was here during lockdown, he was spotted with Super Value bag. Then all of a sudden, Super Value bags became insanely popular in Ireland. Like, we all have like that bag with loads of bags in it in the house that we use for going to pick up shopping. But lots of people needed to be seen with, you know, the Super Value. I just remember people at the time tweeting, surely now that Matt Damon's gone, you know, we should put up a statue of him with his Super Value bag, O'Connell Street, wherever they want to put the statue up. But I was just thinking, is this the new trend, Fergal? You know, are supermarket bags making comeback? I mean, 2020 has been strange. I mean, why not? Why not this? What do you think?
I don't know. We've got a few pretty sweet shopping bags at home here. I think we've got like a Tesco Star Wars kind of Christmas one. Don't want to brag. But I do have a Super Value one as well, man. I do.
There are some pretty cool ones out there. I've got some nice Aldi ones.
You know that.
Like, I would, if I was going somewhere and I needed to bring a bag with me, like, I'd specifically bring these because they look nice.
The best thing, my favorite thing about our Tesco Star Wars one is that I got it in Mr. Price's for some reason. So I need to know what Lurie the fell off for that particular Mr. Price's to have them.
I'm not sure how they ended up with them. Obviously, they just got a delivery. Decided not to call the supplier.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Price, if you are listening, feel free to come on and fight your corner.
You can address this issue. Look, the other trend I noticed was just under the sports was a guy called Caddies, as in golf caddy, underscore
promising.
W_WMC had up this absolute brilliant thread. I don't know if you clicked on it, but it is hilarious. It's current Premier League managers rated as your stepdad. A thread.
What?
So he starts. It's got 30,000 likes. And maybe 10,000 retweets. So the banger of a tweet. I'll just give you a few readouts of some of them. So he started with Mikel Arteta. Pros, has a decent sized house that smells nice and keeps out of the way. Buys the family a Sky Sports package and a Domino's. Cons, makes your actual dad look bad. Full wardrobe is probably from Little One's catalog. You know, then they move on to some of the, you know, like the ones that maybe wouldn't be the best ones. Dean Smith of Aston Villa, pros, decent car and will give you lifts to school, college, work, etc. But probably make you feel bad for asking. Cons, likely to be one of your dad's best mates who's afraid him. Have dickhead kids who are now your de facto fan. 5 out of 10. Eddie Howe was up next. Pros, wouldn't have the bollocks to shout at you. Is fairly fair with sharing the telly. Cons, passive aggressive, asks your ma to do stuff for him. Likely to try too hard. Sis, everyone sitting together. 6 out of 10. And then it goes down to Sean Dyche is next. So Cons, tries to assert his dominance in the house and goes mental over the smallest things.
Yeah.
Has zero banter and dominates the tally remote. Pros, not averse to getting a takeaway in on the weekend.
He swings and roundabouts, you know?
Yeah, so it goes on like that. Look, they've gone through all of them. Frank Lampard is one of the highest scorers, 8 out of 10.
Frank is?
Yeah, look, I'll read out Frank.
I feel like Frank could be your mum's boyfriend for a while.
Exactly. Tons. Tries to act cool and offers to let you wear his clothes.
I don't know why I find that so funny.
Yeah. Definition of all the gear and no idea.
Yeah.
Pros, decent gaff, car, chat. Probably moderate in house disputes. Decent at a game of FIFA.
I'd say Frank could be your mum's boyfriend who has like a 10-year-old BMW and a spoiler.
Then who do we have then? We have Brendan Rodgers. Awful cons, awful taste in music, films, food and telly. Weirdly confrontational about small stuff. Cuts about those tinted sunglasses that only middle-aged men wear. No banter, but thinks he's hilarious. Pros, no kids of his own. Jurgen Klopp is up next. Cons, will absolutely smash the crisps, especially your favourite flavours. Decent banter, but gives it to you in front of your mates. So I assume that means he rips the piss out of you in front of your friend.
No, if those car ads are going to go by as well, he's got himself a decent sized saloon. So handy for this.
Pros, Sky Sports package.
Yeah.
Definitely has takeaways and PS5 secured. Lets you put your own tunes on in the car. Look, I'll read out Guardiola. Really protective over his gear. That's cons. Like, can I actually imagine that? So much as. So yeah, much.
I'd say with Pep, you couldn't fold his fleece in a certain way. You know, this is.
Yeah.
There's something kind of Fraser about him. You know?
If you so much as smell his aftershave without his permission, he's banging on your bedroom door, absolutely fuming. Top level banter, but knows when to leave it. His pros sort out past family holidays. So, you know. Fergal, that was one of the best ones I would recommend.
I'd say with Pep, he's probably got some sort of cashmere top, and if it's not hanging the right way, he'd be furious at you.
Look, last but not least, purely because can't not do Mourinho. Cons, blames anything that goes wrong in the house someone else. If he farts, he blames it on the dog. Pros, absolutely smashes the big occasions. Elite tier banter at weddings. Everybody wants to sit beside him, as he has everyone in stitches. Makes you feel at ease. Probably a decent dancer too. I'd say that's probably fairly close.
Yeah, I mean, you know, never mind what I think about Jose as a manager. Like, I'd probably want to hang out with him.
You would like to sit beside him at a wedding.
I'd sit beside Jose at a wedding.
Yeah, I'd say it'd be good. It would be good crack.
He'd give you. I'd say he'd give you like a really. A really like enthusiastic wink every now and then, you know, if you're at the dance floor or something, really encouraging, you know.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But look, there's 20 managers in the league, so I'm not going to read down through all of them. But I'd recommend, look, maybe we'll put a link up to it. It's quite fun. People go on and have a look at it. He's also doing requests to Sky, so it's not just Premier League managers. There's like Neil Warnock and Tony Pulis in there, but they write themselves, you know. They don't have to put too much thought into that. That's all for sport at the moment, Fergal.
Cool. I know myself, kind of with Twitter this week. There's been a few big stories which I'll kind of come to later on, but stuff that caught my eye this week, and I know Cormac, I know this caught your eye too, and maybe it's dipping back into sport a little bit, but an account called Le Bétard Show. I tried to see if they're actually a podcast or a show of some sort. They don't seem to be. I think it's just a weird name. But they threw up a cracking meme of it's a screenshot from Rocky 4. I think we had to do a bit of research to make sure I didn't give out the wrong Rocky.
We don't want to annoy Rocky Twitter.
No, like One Direction Twitter, they come at you pretty hard and fast. But it's a screenshot from the movie, and it's Apollo Creed confidently getting into the ring, dressed in his kind of all-American jacket and top hat, and then facing down Ivan Drago in the ring. In writing over Apollo, it just says 4th of July gatherings, and over Drago, it just says COVID-19.
So I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, it's very ominous. Yeah. We all know what happened next.
It's simple, it's effective, it's hilarious, and it's just brilliant. You know, people are writing back to it like just a gif of Drago going, "If he dies, he dies."
Yeah, I see that.
I know Apollo Creed's manager just shouting, "Throwing the damn towel." It's also a gif people have been going back with. Someone just replied with a gif of Apollo Creed lying on the ring floor, just twitching. Just face first on the ring floor, just twitching, clearly dying.
I'm looking at that one. Somebody wrote underneath it, "Too soon, always too soon."
Yeah.
I don't care if it's just a movie. That part always gets to me.
Yeah.
Praying face.
And listen, again, I don't want to upset Rocky Twitter, because if this treads it in the go by, that's a passionate bunch of people.
Yeah, taking on a full city there, basically. You know, was it Philadelphia? Is that where?
Yeah, Philadelphia.
Funny, my abiding memory of that scene is actually James Brown doing the intro for Apollo Creed.
Oh my god, it's I completely forgot about that.
Absolutely. Out there, completely wild.
I know what I'm going to do. I'm absolutely going to rewatch Rocky. Not even Rocky 1, 2, or 3. I'm going to rewatch Rocky 4.
Yeah, I'd stop at 4 and then go up, like skip the next one, which I think he fights a guy called Tommy Gunn.
Oh, no. Which one does he have a robot? He's got a robot servant or something in one of them.
Oh, I don't know. I suspect that could be 3. With Clubber Lang, because the whole premise behind that one was that he'd lost what made him great.
Which was kind of a robot butler.
Yeah, well, he kind of become too accustomed to the good life.
Oh, the sweet life. Okay, I'm with you. Yeah. He's not been punching steaks in a freezer in the back of a butcher's in a while. Like.
That's it, yeah. And he's lost his will to fight, you know.
Yeah, no, that's fair. You know, I assume all the elite athletes now would probably disagree with that, but anyway. And then the other thing that kind of caught my eye this week was the BBC News, the World News, tweeted out a story about how in the Czech Republic, or Czechia, I believe you can call it either now, they've kind of changed the name, but you can still go by the Czech Republic.
Did not know that.
Yeah, they changed it last year to Czechia, so I think it's Czechia, Czechia. So they tweeted out a story about how, the title is, or the tweet is, "Coronavirus, Czechs hold party to farewell pandemic." Around the country on a certain date, I think it was July 1st, the Czechs, or many people in Czechia, were holding farewell COVID parties, even though it is still absolutely rampant everywhere else. It's crazy. The thread under it was actually really interesting. Some people actually came back with some facts and figures, which I'll get to in a second. A tweet someone got back with, and it's the obvious joke to make, and Cormac, I thought you'd appreciate it, but an account called Pravin came back with, "They'll all soon have a reality check."
Oh, how did Pravin spell it?
Oh, he spelled it like the country. What is that?
That's what I like to see.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's simple. It's a proper dad joke.
Cannot miss an opportunity like that. No. This kind of, I don't know if this is, I hate saying the Eastern Bloc, but like this kind of ties in with what we were talking about last week with Djokovic. You know, there seems to be a reluctance in that part of Europe.
Djokovic gets mentioned in the thread. Weird you say that. He gets mentioned in the thread. Someone kind of goes, "Oh yeah, just like Djokovic." Now, again, another tweeter was keen to get back and say, "Listen, he's Serbian.
I know.
He's not
yeah,
from
like
the Czech Republic. But no, but you are right on that block. Like, you know, like you don't hear a lot about even coming from Russia. Like, really, in terms of figures, I just don't. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not hearing it. Maybe I'm not following the right channels. But I don't seem to hear a lot of numbers coming out of that part of the world. But it's interesting. A guy called Gabe Cruz at Cruz Gabe came back with a bloody graph in response to this news report, basically saying that now this is Gabe's words. We put that out there that the Czechs might be as delusional as the Americans. Graph shows confirmed cases of COVID each day in the Czech Republic, and you can kind of see a dip leading up to the date of their festival. And then a sudden kind of spike just before it. So whether plans were made kind of shortly before it or not, I'm not sure. It seems, now the guy has done more research, Gabe. He said that he's learned a bit more about COVID in Czechia. And it seems that cases are mostly rising in a few regions. So it's a kind of a hot spot. And I feel like probably Ireland might get that way as well in a couple of weeks. But we're, like, it's pretty much guaranteed we'll end up with a second wave, I'm sure. Especially if you saw Dame Street was all over Twitter today and yesterday.
Oh my God.
In Dublin. Was, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to have a go at the Dubs because I know it wasn't all them, but to be honest, which I don't know where I'm going with that. I do want to have a go at the Dubs, but I'll not. I think it's just an issue with, you know, a big city like that just seems to be impossible to control, you know, like a soft reopening basis. I think everywhere obviously feels they need to reopen or their business is going to be massively impacted. And that's fair enough, but the scenes I seen last night on Twitter were not encouraging at all.
Yeah, and it's the same kind of stuff we've seen in the UK, which they've been getting a lot of stick for. I think was it Brighton last week? They kind of got a lot of stick. It was Brighton or Bournemouth? I think it was Brighton. But funny, it's a nice segue to another tweet from @JohnFallon just replied to it with to this story with, is it twinned with Leicester? You know, is it the sister city of Leicester in England, which kind of got a lot of stick because they had to close down, didn't they? They had to like reclose. Yeah, I know Liverpool was getting a bit of stick. Again, Liverpool was trending on Twitter, and not for the win, but more for, well, a side effect of it, kind of people celebrating on the streets, perhaps irresponsibly after.
Yeah,
the win.
Liverpool Football Club were very quick to condemn that. Right,
oh,
rightly,
were they?
Rightly so, like, you know.
Yeah.
Also, just interestingly, I think two regions in Spain have now gone back into local lockdown. Well, when you say Spain, Catalonia.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, two regions today have gone back into lockdown. So maybe the Czechs might regret this little party.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully they don't. The last thing I'll mention about it is an account at Mr. T in DC. Simply replied to the story with a direct quote, which came from one of the organisers of the festival in the Czech Republic. And the exact quote goes, "We want to celebrate the end of the coronavirus crisis by letting people meet and show they are not afraid to meet, that they are not afraid to take a piece of a sandwich from the neighbour." Doesn't bode well.
It really does not. I mean, that's...
It's fascinating because I know in Prague, which would be kind of one of their hot tourist destinations, they've set up a 500-meter long table, which is a 1,640-feet table in Prague for people to sit down, bring their own food, and share it with neighbors and stuff. And I think that's what the quote is referring to.
Yeah, like, I'm kind of looking at that. Well, I assume the photo that's in the headline of the BBC article is part of that table.
Oh, yeah.
It's, I mean, it looks fairly harmless if you know, at any other time. But I understand we're social. Humans by nature are social creatures. But, I mean, what... I'm not expecting you to have the answer here, but what response has the local government had for this? or did they, or are they driving it? Is this
they're driving
government
it.
Thing now? Czech Republic.
It's not a government thing, but they are driving it. Yeah.
Oh.
It's a real, listen. We'll leave it at that. I don't think we'll be seeing a 500 meter table in Dundalk in a town square anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll get on to our local authorities and see what we can do.
You will see. Okay, so for the last part of our podcast today, we're going to play our traditional game of what are they tweeting about. Cormac, you're going to be playing alone this week, which is good news, bad news?
Well, look, sometimes my own worst enemy has been myself, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, I've only got two topics this week, so I won't torture you for too long. For anyone joining the podcast for the first time, this is a game where I'm going to mention, read out a few tweets about a particular trend I saw on Twitter, and Cormac's just going to try and guess what I am talking about. If you're wondering what he wins from this, absolutely nothing. Okay, so the first topic I'm talking about, the first tweet comes from a fella called Dave Mackeychuk. Take from that what you will. Dave just says, wow, this is great. You couldn't buy this kind of publicity. Lol. At Guardian, and fair play to this guy for getting that name. he must be on Twitter like the next day. But he says, don't recall anything in the Bible saying Jesus didn't wear a nose ring. At Platinum Mouse responds to this trend with, if only Michael was alive to take the role himself. An account called At Beagle Buggle replies with Jesus of Neverland. And finally, At Surround to Sound responds with Moonwalk on Water. Cormac, do you have any idea what story or trend I'm talking about?
I actually do, Fergal. I've seen this on the news during the week. Is this Michael Jackson's daughter, Paris? Is that her name?
Yeah, Paris. The only slightly more realistic name to blanket.
Yes. She is playing, well, is it Jesus?
Yeah, from what I've read, yeah. It sounds just awful. It's Jesus of Nazareth, sorry, reincarnated in modern times, I think. Well, actually, I don't know. It's meant to be set in modern times, and Jesus is Paris Jackson, Michael Jackson's daughter, who is surprised. Well, I don't know if this is a surprise or not. She's a white woman, in her late or early 20s, I think. But yeah, some indie filmmakers making this. Cormac, what's your take on this plot?
So hold on a minute now. I'm not expecting you to have these answers about this film, but is she playing Paris Jackson in the film and all of a sudden she becomes Jesus? I mean, is she playing Jesus?
Like does she transform?
Yeah, well, like it's found
into Jesus.
It's found out
like He-Man.
It's found out that she's reincarnated, or she. I don't know. It's absurd, but it's absurd enough to be plot, I'm guessing. But I would just like to know how aware she is in this.
That sounds like a He-Man type scenario where she holds up a cross and shouts out, I have the power, or whatever He-Man shouts out.
I think you probably know what He-Man
whatever,
shouts
you know,
out
further. He-Man, you know, master of the universe. Yeah. But, you know, from what I've read, it seems to be like, I think she's a reincarnation of Jesus now, but it's a woman instead, I think.
Right.
Oh, and she's a lesbian, I believe.
Oh.
In it, just to annoy the very Christian people in America even more, I assume. But that's what the majority of responses were. They're quite people were quite angry about this. It was a mixture of anger and people saying, "Who cares?"
Well, but I mean, I'd probably be of the latter. I mean,
yeah, who really cares?
It's outrageous. I'll probably avoid it. Comes out, but.
I'll avoid it, but just because it sounds like a really bad movie.
Yeah.
More than anything.
Plus, she's got no back catalogue, so.
But what I really loved about this trend, Cormac, is that I saw for the first time in a long time a little piece of serenity on Twitter, where an account called @GodsAltar, that's the Twitter handle. The name is just Ariel and two cherries, which I think is a bit misleading. But Ariel responds quite amicably with, "Can we just be excited that there's going to be a new movie about Jesus? As long as they stay true to his patience and kindness and wisdom, I think more people need to be aware of just how kind Jesus was, is."
Yeah, let me tell you something about Jesus. If he was about right now, he would turn his back on us so quickly. That woman would find out. She knocked his door, he would close it. I can tell you that now, because we are not.
Every day,
we are
further away from Jesus.
That's from somebody who's quite liberal, we'll say.
Mm. I don't know. It was the first time I was taken aback by the tweet by how peaceful it was. And that just shows what Twitter's like at the minute.
I think he'd get tired of the modern world very quickly.
Jesus. Yeah. What do you think he'd make of Trump? I know we don't really mention Trump on the podcast by choice, but what do you think he'd make of him?
I don't know. I think he'd probably run against him and lose. That's what would happen. Yeah. Yeah. That's the absurdity of the whole thing.
Well, Cormie, that's a beautiful segue to my next one. So the next trend I'm going to talk about. Now, this is a fresh one today, okay? Today, what day is today, Cormie? The 5th of July? That's as of today. Elon Musk tweets, "You have my full support." At Fallon Liars responds, "Taylor Swift is still better than you. I don't care." At It's Brits tweets responds, "Stop putting reality TV stars in the White House." At Fab on Third Rock replies with, "It seems the movie Idiocracy was not mere entertainment, it was prophecy." And my favourite one, because I don't think it really makes sense, is at Rob Den Bleeker responds with, Okay, Boomer.
Look, to be fair, you did give me two easy ones with Sean Not About, and I obviously knew what this was because this morning, the first thing I seen when I woke up was a text from you, and I was like, oh, for God's sake, what does he want now, kind of thing, and it was just a link to a tweet, and it was Kanye West is running for president.
Yeah. Are you not excited to get early morning tweets from me?
I mean, to be honest with you, it wasn't actually that early, I just slept in this morning. I think it was about 10:30 when I looked at my phone. If anyone ever needed me in an emergency, it'd be no good because I mute my WhatsApp at 12 o'clock at night.
Do you?
Yeah, until like 9 the next morning.
Brilliant.
Yeah. But I seen it, I looked at it, and the first thing I thought was, this is some sort of joke Fergus lining up for later on. And then as I woke up and I had my coffee, I looked at it again and I realised, no, this is real, in inverted commas.
Yeah, and Yeezy for Prez, man.
And then I was thinking, like, did he not say this a couple of years ago, he was going to do this? And apparently he did. But it turns out now that he has... As I done a bit of further research, because I knew you were going to bring it up. I done a bit of further research, and it turns out he's left himself short of time to run in about 5 or 6 really important states. So he can't win.
Oh, so he's kind of missed a registration.
Yeah,
date.
Like New York was one of them, and that would.
I did see tweets about people saying, "Oh, he's left it too late to run," but I thought they just meant in terms of. Just getting votes. I didn't realise they meant like from a legal standpoint.
I think so. Look, I don't remember the other states. I think there's about 6 of them, but there's like New York is obviously a very important state if you want to win the US presidency. But a lot of people are unhappy because although I think he's quite friendly with Trump, nobody's overly sure what his actual, can't believe I'm saying this, God, like, you know, what his policies are. Of course we don't know, but nobody's sure what political party he actually belongs to, if any. And there's a concern in America now that obviously Joe Biden would be relying on the African-American vote, you know, because
definitely
Trump's base is Trump's base, and that is it. They are not going to change.
Yeah, I know, 100%. Funny you mention that, Cormac. While kind of researching it, I kind of came across an account. The account is called Watching the Throne. I've just realised it's called At Kanye. It's called At Kanye Podcast.
Oh.
So I'm assuming it's not going to be too biased. But they put up an online poll, and they've got like 5,500 replies. When I looked at this at about lunchtime today, and we are recording in the evening. But it was Kanye, Trump, or Biden, vote below. And now, this being a Kanye podcast, Kanye came in with 49% of the vote for president. Biden came in with 37%. And funny you mentioned the fact that, you know, with Kanye, does he love Trump? Does he hate Trump? Trump only came in with 13% of the vote. And I know this isn't Kanye's vote, but it is a podcast dedicated to him with people like Kanye, you know.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was interesting to see Trump only come in with 13% of that vote.
Oh look, there's no way. Like, I mean, I think he could actually win that election now, Trump. I think he could get re-elected because of Kanye West running. Because, as I said, there's a concern that Kanye West will take away a large proportion of the African American vote that Biden would probably have been relying on. Trump's base is Trump's base, and they're going to vote for him. It doesn't matter if he takes, you know, a big poo on their doorstep. He's voting for them.
Or they're voting. Wait, on whose doorstep specifically?
On Trump's voters' doorstep.
Individually. Yeah, that's a lot of work before November.
They'll put it in a flower pot and hope something grows out of it. That's the kind of people they're dealing with.
The only thing growing out of that pod, Cormac, is a divided nation. Listen, you're right. A lot of the tweets concerning this are about Kanye taking votes away from Biden. That seems to be the main concern.
Could you imagine Kim Kardashian, first lady? It's just... Someone mentioned Idiocracy. I love that film.
Yeah.
And it just seems...
Good film.
It just seems to be that. Interestingly enough, The Rock actually said about 8 years ago that he was going to run in 2024.
I think it was more recent than that.
And I think he'd be more likely to win it than... I'll put it this way. Yeah. If The Rock was running right now as the only candidate against Donald Trump, he'd win.
Yeah, you know, he'd be a Democrat. I think he'd be a Democrat, if not an independent. Definitely wouldn't be a Republican. But if anybody does get the chance and you haven't seen it, Idiocracy, starring Luke Wilson and Terry Crews, is a little hidden gem. It's not a good movie, but it's a funny movie. It's got some interesting concepts.
It's a good comment on how things... Obviously, it's the extreme... of what could happen.
Yeah. Basically Luke Wilson's character gets, I can't remember how, he gets frozen in time, and, you know, let's say he's alive in 2010 and he's an average intelligence guy. He wakes up in 100 years and suddenly finds himself as the most intelligent man in the world because everybody's gotten dumber. All water in the planet's been replaced with Mountain Dew, I think.
Yeah.
And Terry Crews is the president, and I think he might be a part-time pro wrestler in it or something.
He was heavyweight champion of the world in whatever.
Was he?
Whatever.
I thought I was making that
whatever
up.
Wrestling was happening at the time, yeah.
Amazing. Fantastic. But yeah, Idiocracy, good. It's a good watch, and some concepts in it are a little closer to reality than we'd care to admit at the minute.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so that's us for this week. Cormac, thanks for joining me this week solo. How did you find doing it by yourself? Without your usual partner?
I am a single man, so doing it by myself has been something I've had to cope with for a while.
This is a clean, family-friendly podcast. I'd like to remind everybody about that.
Do you want me to re-record that? Or?
No, we'll leave it in. It's fine. Cormac, thanks a million for joining me solo. As you said, you are used to it. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our Twitter handle is @tweetsaheadcast. We will be retweeting any of the stuff and a lot of the stuff we've talked about in this podcast following the upload. You can now find us on Apple. We are on iTunes, so just search Tweets Ahead. We are on Spotify. We're on Breaker. And we're on Google Podcasts. And of course, we are on Anchor, which is our main podcast provider. Guys, thanks for listening this week. And please join us again and subscribe next time. Bye now. How do you know, man?